وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله تواصل أن يسأل معي always an adoration and glorification are all due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are in this grateful to Him for all His favors that we cannot even count. Thank Him for the favors of faith, the favors of life, the favors of health, and the favors of being able to see yet another Ramadan in our life. We pray that Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us the tawfiq to do righteous actions that are pleasing to Him. We are going to accept whatever we are able to do and forgive us wherever we fall short. We beg Him to accept all our good deeds and make them heavy on the scale of the righteousness and the day of we welcome everyone to yet another session of our tafsir and the BTC Mosque. And we are taking advantage of the presence of scholar here who has come all the way from Katuna to honor our invitation and to share this knowledge with us. He took us through the tafsir of a section of the Quran yesterday, and he has gracefully accepted to read it today, looking at yet another section of the Quran. So, inshallah, we will start. And we beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it easy for him and grant us the benefits. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept it as act of worship for all of us.
الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما نافعا يا رب العالمين. اللهم اجعل أعمالنا خالصة لوجهه الكريم ولا تجعل لأحد فيها نصيبا. أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. All praises, thanks and adorations are due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, alone without partners. We ask Allah to increase His mercies and blessings upon the soul of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, as well as his family, his companions, and all those who call to their path and follow their guidance until the day of reckoning. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continue to make us steadfast on the path of Islam. May He accept our deeds, forgive our shortcomings. As introduced by the Imam, hafizahullah wa ra'ah, that today also we will be looking at another portion of the glorious Quran, so that we learn from the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Quran being the fundamental source of guidance for mankind that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave to the Prophet alayhi salatu wa salam to guide people, bring them out of the darknesses of ignorance, the darknesses of shirk, to the light of knowledge and tawheed. Today we are going to be looking at Surah Ali Imran, verse 30 to wherever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it easy for us to stop. We will be translating the meaning of verse 30, and it contains the portion that is the reason why the surah was named Surah Ali Imran, the chapter of the family of Imran. And so we'll take the recitation. This time I will take the recitation verse after verse, because I don't know where we are going to stop. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم يوم تجد كل نفس ما عملت من خير مهضرا وما عملت من سوء تود لو أن بينها وبينه أمدا بعيدا ويحذركم الله نفسه والله رؤوف بالعباد يوم تجد كل نفس ما عملت من خير مهدرا. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is referring to the day of resurrection, Yawm al-Qiyamah, the day of jaza, the day of recompense, where people will be paid and rewarded for their actions. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us, brought us to dunya to walk, and He promised to give us our reward on the day of Qiyamah, Yawm al-Din. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, يَوْمَ تَجِدُ كُلُّ نَفْسٍ مَا عَمِلًا. It is the day that every soul will find confronting it, مَا عَمِلَتْ, what it has done, مِنْ خَيْرٍ, of good deeds, مُهْدَرَ. Every soul will find the good deeds they had done confronting them. وَمَا عَمِلَتْ مِنْ سُوءٍ, and whatever they have done of evil, تَوَدُّ, those souls would love, they would wish, لَوْ أَنَّ بَيْنَهَا وَبَيْنَهُ أَمَدًا بَعِيدًا, they would wish that there had been a very long space of distance between them and those actions, that they never went close to them. Allah said, وَيُحَذِّرُكُمُ اللَّهُ نَفْسَهُ, Allah warns you against Himself. وَاللَّهُ رَؤُوفٌ بِالْعِبَادِ, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is most kind and merciful to His slaves. La ilaha illallah. Look at the combination of the words. First, it's for us to understand that for every action, there is a reward that is associated with it. If one does good, he finds the good in full scale. Allah rewards him. مَنْ جَاءَ بِالْحَسَنَةِ فَلَهُ عَشْرُ أَمْثَالِهَا. Do one good deed and Allah rewards you with tenfold. In fact, Allah can give you more than that. So those who do good will feel happy on that day. But those who do evil, those who have not done well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said they would regret on that day. Tawaddu, they would love. لَوْ أَنَّ بَيْنَهَا وَبَيْنَهُ أَمَدًا بَعِيدًا, that there is a long space of distance between them, that they never went close to those evil deeds. What does a man want to acquire by sin? Think of anything that one wishes to have, and ask yourself if it actually satisfies them, those who commit that sin. Does it satisfy them? If it is something that somebody wants to eat or drink, alcohol, pork meat, dog meat, or any other thing that somebody wishes to eat, after consuming it, after eating it, does he feel satisfied that he feels yes, he has attained the peak of satisfaction? No. Even those who commit zina, iyadu billah, they are never satisfied. Because there is no absolute satisfaction in this world. If it is money one wants to acquire, allow him to get the money. He would look for more. We were just talking with a brother today, and we are discussing how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes this world. وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَتَاءُ الْغُرُورِ. You know the gurur? It's like a mirage. It's delusion, it's illusion. It's never real. Sometimes a person wishes he has a bicycle. That, if I have a bicycle, that's cool. I will just be happy. When he gets the bicycle, he realizes that the bicycle is not his problem. The bicycle does not give him satisfaction. Then he craves to get a car or to get a bike. When he gets the bike, he craves to get a car. When he gets the car. So you only wish for what you don't have. The moment you have it, you realize it is a mirage. It does not satisfy you. It does not give you the happiness you require. Because in this world, there is no satisfaction. Like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, لَوْ كَانَ لِبْنِ آدَمَ وَادِيًا لَبْتَبَى ثَانِيًا. If a person has a value of wealth, he would want to get the second one. When he gets the second one, ابْتَبَى الثَّالِثِ, he wishes to get the third one. وَلَا يَمْلَأُ فَاهُ إِلَّا التُّرَابَ. He gets satisfied the day he goes into his grave. أَلْهَاكُمُ التَّكَاثُرُ حَتَّى زُرْتُمُ الْمَقَابِرُ أَلَّا سَوْفَ تَعْلَمُونَ. So there is no absolute satisfaction. There is no happiness, absolute happiness in this world. So we should not, because of what we want to attain of position, because of what we want to get of wealth, because of what we want to have of women, because of what we want to have of houses and the material things of life, sin against Allah, it wouldn't make us happy. And on the day of judgment, one would regret it. تَوَدُّ لَوْ أَنَّ بَيْنَهَا وَبَيْنَهُ أَمَدًا بَعِيدًا. It is because of what one would see on the day of judgment of the reward. Allah said, وَيُحَذِّرُكُمُ اللَّهُ نَفْسَهُ. Allah warns you of himself. Because there is nobody that punishes like Allah. لَا يُعَذِّبُ عَذَابَهُ أَحَدٌ وَلَا يُوثِقُ وَثَاقَهُ أَحَدٌ. There is none that punishes like Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the most severe of punishment that one can never withstand. One can never endure. So he said, وَيُحَذِّرُكُمُ اللَّهُ نَفْسًا. Then he said, وَاللَّهُ رَؤُوفٌ بِالْعِبَادِ. He combined between الْوَعْدُ وَالْوَعِيدِ الْخَوْفُ وَالْرَجَاءُ. Know that Allah is not only threatening you, but He is also Ra'uf, most kind, most merciful, most benevolent with His slaves. For us to get encouraged that we should want to do good and not want to do bad. Allah says, Allah assist us. قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهُ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes himself as being most kind with his slaves, he said, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ. O the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, tell your ummah, tell the Muslims, tell those who have believed in Allah, in kuntum tuhibbun Allah, if truly you believe, if truly you love Allah, in kuntum, a conditional statement, if you know truly you love Allah, because Allahu ahlan an yuhab. Allah is most deserving that He be loved. Al-Imam Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah alayhi rahmatullah, he said, مَنْ عَلِمَ اللَّهَ مَنْ عَرَفَ اللَّهَ بِأَسْمَائِهِ وَصِفَاتِهِ وَأَفْعَالِهِ أَحَبَّهُ لَا مَحَالَهُ. If you know Allah with his names, you know him with his attributes and what Allah does, you would love Allah. You don't have option. But because the depth of thought about Allah and reflection is very weak. If a person does good to you today, he does nice to you tomorrow by giving you food, you find yourself liking the person naturally. You love the person because he does good to you. Can you count the good Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has done to you? The ones you know and the ones you don't know. Nobody knows. So if one knows, one will definitely love Allah. Loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is necessary. It's a necessity for the one who is able to reflect. So Allah says, إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ. If truly you love Allah, فَاتَّبِعُونِي, then obey me. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. يُحْبِبُكُمُ اللَّهِ. If you obey me, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will love you. وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ. Will not only love you, he will forgive you your sins. Wallahu ghafuru rahim. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is of forgiven and of merciful. Al-Hasan al-Basri alayhi rahmatullah, one of the tabi'un, he said, idda'a an-nasu mahabbata Allah famtahanahum Allah bi-ayatin wahida. People claimed to love Allah. They claimed they believe and they love Allah. So Allah subjected them to one test. Allah tested them with one verse, and that is this verse. If you love Allah, then your love of Allah should reflect in your obedience to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when you obey the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam, you enter paradise. Like we all know, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, man ato'ani dakhala al-jannah wa man ato'ani faqad aba. Is that the message? Whoever obeys me will enter paradise, and whoever does not disobey me, كُلُّ أُمَّتِي يَدْخُلُونَ الْجَنَّةِ إِلَّا مَنْ أَبَى. That's the beginning. He said, all of my ummah will enter paradise except the one who refuses. And it was strange to the companions, they said, يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ وَمَنْ يَعْبَى. Who will refuse to enter paradise if he is granted paradise? The Prophet said, مَنْ أَطَوَعَنِي دَخَلَ الْجَنَّةِ. Whoever obeys me enters paradise. وَمَنْ أَطَوَعَنِي فَقَدْ أَبَى. But whoever disobeys me in my way of life, he disobeys my commands, he does not follow my teachings, فَقَدْ أَبَى. Such a person has refused to enter paradise. Because the only gate to paradise is for you to obey the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. إِن تُطِيعُوهُ تَحْتَدُوا. إِن تُطِيعُوهُ تَحْتَدُوا. If you follow him, you will be guided. Even if you don't follow him, you will not be guided. وَمَا كَانَ لِمُؤْمِنٍ وَلَا مُؤْمِنَةٍ إِلَىٰ قَضَى اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ أَمْرًا أَنْ يَكُونَ لَهُمُ الْخِيَرَةُ مِنْ أَمْرِهِمْ. It is not befitting to the believers that when Allah and His Messenger make the decree, you have a choice. And that's why today we have to be very careful with what we see around us and what's happening in the knowledge. Okay, the voice is not loud enough. So we have to be very careful with what is happening in the knowledge space. We are people are now forming alliances not based on evidence, not based on what has come from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but based on this is my person, and so I will be with him irrespective of what he says. The only one we have to obey is the Messenger of Allah, absolutely. And that is the implication of our kalimatul tawheed, when we say, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. Muhammadur Rasulullah means I will obey him absolutely, without querying his instructions and commands. So to get the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we need to obey the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he said also, subhanahu wa ta'ala, قُلْ أَطِيعُوا اللَّهَ وَالرَّسُولِ فَإِن تَوَلَّوْا فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ الْكَافِرِينَ. قُلْ أَطِيعُوا اللَّهَ وَالرَّسُولِ. O Rasulullah, also tell them that أَطِيعُوا اللَّهَ وَالرَّسُولِ. Obey Allah and His Messenger. فَإِن تَوَلَّوْا. If however they turn away, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ الْكَافِرِينَ Allah doesn't like the unbelievers. Here Allah has established His love for a category of people and His lack of love for a category of people. Those whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves are those who obey Allah and His Messenger. Those that Allah doesn't love are those who disobey Allah and His Messenger. The love of Allah, if reflected upon just a little bit, one would understand what it actually means. لِلَّهِ الْمَثَلُ الْأَعْلَى When a person that is respected, a reputable person in the society or in a community, says, I love this person, that person becomes honored. He becomes envied because of the love of that human. Let's call him now maybe the governor of a state or the president of a country. Saying, I love this person. I love him. That person becomes respected in his community automatically because the president loves him. Even if it is someone in a government and they say, the governor is impressed with this person's work. Everybody respects him. And when he speaks, he listens to. Because the governor loves him. The love of the creator of the heavens and the earth is more than that. And that is why people crave to get the love of Allah. Those who understand what the love of Allah means. Those who understand it, they walk towards, when they say Allah loves something, they do it. Allah is with those who do this, they try to see how they get it. Let me give us a distance example. Not because I want to encourage us to do it, but to understand how those people think. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الدَّائِنِ مَا دَامَ يَنْوِ الْوَفَى That Allah is with the one who is indebted for as long as he intends to pay his debt. He is working tirelessly to pay his debt. Allah is with him. Allah is with him. It is reported that Umm Salama, the wife of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, would go to collect debt, and she would give it out as sadaqah. She would give sadaqah on debt. Then she would struggle to pay. When she was asked, she said, "Because the Prophet said, 'Inna Allaha ma'a da'ini,' I'm indebted, so Allah will be with me." They want to get the ma'iyah of Allah. Because you understand what it means. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves those who obey Allah and the Messenger of Allah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't love those who disobey them. That is why He said, "Qul ati'u Allaha wa Rasul." It is classifying people into two. Those who obey Allah and His Messenger, they are loved by Allah. Those who disobey Allah and His Messenger, they are not loved by Allah. Period. That's the classification. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enrich us with the love of Allah and the obedience to Allah and His Messenger. Then he said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ اصْطَفَى آدَمَ وَنُوحًا وَآلَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَآلَ عِمْرَانَ عَلَى الْعَالَمِينَ ذُرِّيَّةً بَعْضُهَا مِنْ بَعْضٍ وَاللَّهُ سَمِيعٌ عَلِيمٌ Like I said, this is the verse for which the surah was named, after which the surah was named. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ اصْطَفَى آدَمَ وَنُوحًا Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose Adam, Nabiullahi Adam, and Nuhu. وَآلَ إِبْرَاهِيم He also preferred the family of Ibrahim. وَآلَ عِمْرَان And the family of Imran. عَلَى الْعَالَمِينَ Above all the worlds. Allah preferred them. Allah elevated them above others during their time. He said, ذُرِّيَّةً These are offspring. بَعْضُهَا مِنْ بَعْضٍ Part of them are from part. It's a generation. They inherited the prophethood. They inherited the call to Allah. They inherited the fear of Allah. Wallahu sami'un alim. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all hearing, all knowing. If qalat imra'atu imrana, إذ قالت امرأة عمران رب إني نذرت لك ما في بطني محررا فتقبل مني إنك أنت السميع العليم. والله سميع العليم. Allah is all hearing and all knowing. إذ قالت امرأة عمران, when the wife of Imran said, don't forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preferred all those categories of people, and then he isolated Imran and wants to tell us about his family. That remember, إِذْ قَالَتِ مُرَأَةُ عِمْرَانَ, when the wife of Imran said, رَبِّي, O my Lord, إِنِّي نَذَرْتُ لَكَ مَا فِي بَطُنِي مُحَرَّرًا, I have vowed to sacrifice what is in my womb, to be free to your service, Ya Allah. I have vowed that whatever I give back to, whatever I deliver, will be dedicated to your service, Ya Allah. إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ. He said, فَتَقَبَّلْ مِنِّي. So Allah accept it from me. Accept this vow from me. إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ. Verily, you are a sami', the all-hearing, al-alim, the all-knowing. You see these two verses we have joined together, ذُرِّيَّةً بَعْضُهَا مِنْ بَعْضٍ. It tells a lot of message. And what Allah mentioned of the wife of Imran, how she vowed to dedicate the contents of her womb to the service of Allah, it tells a volume. And what the Ahlul Ilm bring out of that is that Salahul Aba Mu'athirun fi Salahil Awlad. The righteousness of parents has a lot of impact on the righteousness of their children. Allah says, ذُرِّيَّةً بَعْضُهَا مِنْ بَعْضٍ. These are generations, offspring, that came from one another. They came dropping, following that line and chain. Allah now give us a practical example with what happened with the wife of Imran. Imra'atu Imran. And usually I tell people, I said, this is the product of marriage. Marriages in the Quran are of four types. The models of marriages in the Quran, Allah gave us four. One of them is this one. We are a righteous man married a righteous woman, having the same goal and objectives, that we want to live for Allah and we want to work for Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will usually assist their children. Another model of the Quran is where we have a righteous man marrying an ungodly woman. An example is the marriage of Nabiullah Nuh to his wife, and the marriage of Nabiullah Nuh to his wife, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, وَضَرَبَ اللَّهُ مَثَلًا لِلَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا امْرَأَةَ نُوحٍ وَامْرَأَةَ لُوطٍ كَانَتَا تَحْتَ عَبْدَيْنِ مِنْ عِبَادِنَا صَالِحَيْنِ فَخَانَتَاهُمَا فَلَمْ يُغْنِيَا عَنْهُمَا مِنَ اللَّهِ شَيْئًا وَقِيلَ ادْخُلَا النَّارَ مَعَ الدَّاخِلِينَ. Allah mentioned this. It is also a model. A prophet of Allah was married to an ungodly woman who does not fear Allah, who does not believe in Allah. The consequence was sin. It was the destruction of the family. The wife perished. The son also perished of Nabiullah Nuh. He watched his son perish along with his wife. It happened. When the wrong choices are made during marriage, we lose children to destruction. Like Nabiullah alayhi salatu wasalam, Nuh did. Nabiullah alayhi salatu wasalam. It is for us to learn. Allah used Nabiullah Nuh for us to learn. Sometimes you could think or feel you are godly enough and you could control or change everything. But what the Prophet wants us in this ummah is that try to get righteous people as your spouse. The next model, which is the third model, is where the wife is righteous and the husband is bad. And that is the wife or the marriage between Asiya and Fir'aun. Asiya was a righteous woman. The Prophet ﷺ said, most women are not complete. Many men are complete, but only a few men are complete. Asiya is one of them. So Allah talks about her. وَضَرَبَ اللَّهُ مَثَلًا لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا امْرَأَةَ فِرْعَوْنَ إِذْ قَالَتْ رَبِّ ابْنِ لِي عِندَكَ بَيْتًا فِي الْجَنَّةِ وَنَجِّنِي مِنْ فِرْعَوْنَ وَعَمَلِهِ وَنَجِّنِي مِنَ الْقَوْمِ الظَّالِمِينَ. Finally, she was persecuted by her husband because she did not fall into his line of thinking. She did not follow his belief. So he ended up persecuting her, and she asked for Allah to build for her with Allah a house. رَبِّ بِنِ لِي عِنْدَكَ بَيْتًا فِي الْجَنَّةِ اِخْتَارَتِ الْجَارِ قَبْلَ الدَّارِ. Scholars of Tafsir will say, she chose who she wants to stay with before where she wants to stay. إِبْنِ لِي عِنْدَكَ بَيْتًا فِي الْجَنَّةِ إِبْنِ لِي, she didn't say إِبْنِ لِي بَيْتًا عِنْدَكَ فِي الْجَنَّةِ, she said إِبْنِ لِي عِنْدَكَ, so اِخْتَارَتِ الْجَارِ قَبْلَ الدَّارِ, before the house. So that is how they look. That's not a good model also. The fourth model is where a bad husband marries a bad wife. That is catastrophic. And that's the model of the Batiyada Abi Lahab wa Tabba. مَا أَغْنَى عَنْهُ مَالُهُ وَمَا كَسَبَ فَيَصْلَى نَارًا ذَاتَ لَهَبٍ وَامْرَأَتُهُ حَمَّالَةَ الْحَطَبِ. Both the husband and wife, they are ruined and destroyed. Now, this model is a praiseworthy model, where the husband and wife have the same line of thinking, wanting to worship Allah and wanting to contribute to the religion of Allah. The wife of Imran, she dedicated and vowed that whatever she gives back is going to be for the service of Allah. She will dedicate it to the service of Allah. And we said that shows that صلاح الآباء يؤثر في صلاح الأولاد. When parents are good, it would affect their children. And that's why when she gave birth, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فلما وضعتها قالت ربي إني وضعتها أنثى والله أعلم بما وضعت وليس الذكر كالأنثى وإني سميتها مريم وإني أعيذها بك وذريتها من الشيطان الرجيم. فلما وضعتها, when she delivered the child, قالت, she said, ربي, oh my Lord, إني وضعتها أنثى, I have delivered a baby girl. Allah said, والله أعلم بما وضعت, but Allah سبحانه وتعالى knows better what she has given birth. هذه الجملة جملة اعتراضية. It is called an interjectory sentence. والله أعلم بما وضعت. She said, ربي إني وضعتها أنثى. Oh Allah, I have delivered a baby girl. Allah said, والله أعلم بما وضعت. Even if she had not said it, Allah knows better what she had given birth to. وليس الذكر كالأنثى. The scholars of Tafsir have differed whether this is the statement of Allah or it is the statement of Maryam. وَلَيْسَ الذَّكَرُ كَالْأُنْثَى. And the male child is not like the female child. She wanted a child that will be dedicated to the service of the mosque or the place of worship. That was what the wife of Imran wanted. So she gave birth to a female child. And she was now lamenting that, oh, I gave birth to a female child when I wanted the child to be dedicated to the work of Allah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, He knows better what she has given birth to. وَإِنِّي سَمَّيْتُهَا مَرْيَمَا. That child that was given birth to is Maryam. She said, Ya Allah, I have named the child Maryam. The day she gave birth to her was the day she named the child, and she called her Maryam. وَإِنِّي أُعِيذُهَا بِكَ. And I ask you to protect her. I seek for protection with you for her. وَذُرِّيَّتَهَا and for her offspring مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ from Shaitan the outcast. So that vow the wife of Imran made is what brought about Maryam. The Maryam that brought about the birth of Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, Nabiullah. So we can see that truly صلاح الآباء مؤثر في صلاح الأولاد. That when we want our children to be righteous, we want Allah to guide our children. One way to achieve that is to make islah, make reconciliations, make repairs between ourselves and Allah. We try ourselves to become righteous, to become Allah-fearing. That is one of the easiest ways, or the most assured or guaranteed ways that one can become, one can have salah in his offspring. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "Man amila salihan min dhakarin aw untha wa huwa mu'minun falanuhyiyannahu hayatan tayyiba wa lanajziyannahum ajrahum bi ahsani ma kanu ya'malun." Man amila salihan, whoever does good, min dhakarin aw untha, whether you are a female or a male, wa huwa mu'minun, while you are a believer in Allah, Allah said, فَلَنُحْيِيَنَّهُ حَيَاةً طَيِّبًا. We'll make him to live a good life. We'll make him to live a good life. He would live a life of happiness. He will live a life of bliss and joy. وَلَنَجْزِيَنَّهُمْ أَجْرَهُمْ. And in the hereafter, we are going to give them the reward, the أَحْسَنِ مَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ, better than what they have done. Allah does not give you a reward that is commensurate to what you have done. No, He gives you better. And the scholars will say, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, He will make you to live a good life, which life can be better than a person living to see his children becoming righteous in his presence? That you see your children becoming the source of a joy to your heart. What life is better than that? That you see happiness in your children. That you see what pleases you in your children. There is no one that is giving you trouble. No one is giving you headache. So that is with Amal Saleh. You achieve that with Amalun Saleh. Do good and Allah will preserve them for you. One of the pious predecessors by name Sa'id ibn Jubayr. Sa'id ibn Jubayr alayhi rahmatullah, a student of Abdullah ibn Abbas. He said, "Inni la azidu fi salati. Inni la azidu fi salati min ajli ibni hada, aw li salahi ibni hada." I used to increase the amount of prayer I observe because of my son, because of the righteousness of my son. I connect myself with Allah. I work harder, worship Allah more, because I want Allah to take care of my child. Muhammad ibn al-Munkadir would say, "Inna Allah la yahfazu al-mar'a fi awladihi wa awladi awladihi wa awladi awladi awladihi." Sometimes Allah preserves a person in his child. Those good deeds you have done, Allah will make your child to be preserved. Allah will make the grandchildren to be preserved. In fact, their offspring will also be preserved because of your own good deeds, because of your relationship with Allah. If we don't have any prototype or any model, we have the model of وَكَانَ أَبُوهُمَا صَالِحًا in Surah Al-Kahf. وَكَانَ أَبُوهُمَا صَالِحًا. When Khadir and Musa alayhi salatu wasalam wanted to rebuild that wall, and Musa was asking, "Why should you want to build the wall?" And Khadir erected the wall and said, "وَأَمَّا الْجِدَارُ فَكَانَ الْيَتِيمَيْنِ فَكَانَ الْيَتِيمَيْنِ فِي الْمَدِينَةِ وَكَانَ تَحْتَهُ كَنْزٌ لَهُمَا وَكَانَ أَبُوهُمَا صَالِحًا." Is that the way the verse is? No? فأراد ربك أن يبلغ أشدهما ويستخرج كنزهما رحمة من ربك. This is a wealth that a father hid for his children. They were orphans. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to protect that wealth. For no other reason than what Al-Khidr mentioned. You can call him Al-Qadir and you can call him Al-Khidr. It's all correct. Because of the piety of the father, he said, وَكَانَ أَبُوهُمَا صَالِحًا. Their father used to be a righteous man. فَأَرَادَ رَبُّكَ. It is because of that that your Lord now wanted أَنْ يَبْلُغَ أَشُدَّهُمَا. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will spare that well until they get to the age of strength and maturity. وَيَسْتَخْرِجَ كَنْزَهُمَا. And they will bring out their treasure that was left for them. Allah protected the well. رَحْمَةً مِنْ رَبِّكَ. It is a mercy from your Lord. That is the result of the father being a pious man. A father who had devoted his life to the service of Allah. He had tried to protect himself from haram. He has not oppressed other people. He had assisted other people. Because one of the ways, when we say, مَنْ عَمِلَ صَالِحًا مِنْ ذَكَرٍ أَوْ أُنْثَى. Do good. Somebody might be asking, what nature of good should I be doing? Ahlul Ilm will say, one of the best ways is al-infaq. For you to spend in the cause of Allah. Spend on the needy. Spend on those who require assistance. When you do that, assisting humans, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will assist your own children. The evidence for that is in the verse in Surah Al-Baqarah. أيود أحدكم أن تكون له جنة من نخيل وأعناب تجري من تحتها الأنهار له فيها من كل الثمرات وأصابه الكبر وله ذرية ضعفاء فأصابها إعصار فيه نار فاحترقت كذلك يبين الله لكم الآيات لعلكم تتفكرون في نفس يا أيها الذين آمنوا أنفقوا من طيبات ما كسبتم ومما أخرجنا لكم من الأرض ولا تيمموا الخبيث منه تنفقون ولستم بآخذيه إلا أن تغمضوا فيه. You see the example Allah gives. I want to أحدكم. Would any of you love? I want us to follow the example. It is a similitude that Allah has coined. I want to أحدكم. Would any of you love أن تكون له جنة من نخيل وعناب, that he has a garden of date trees and vines, عنب, تجري من تحتها الأنهار. This garden has rivers flowing underneath it. له فيها من كل الثمرات. In that garden, he has all forms of fruits. وَأَصَوْبَهُ الْكِبَرُ. Now he has reached old age. He has a garden. That garden is a source of wealth for him. The garden is a source of wealth because that is his investment. Now he has reached old age. He can no longer begin investment. He has made his investment. His investment is okay. Now old age has caught up with him. وَلَهُ ذُرِّيَّةٌ ضُعَفَى. And he has weak and feeble offspring. He has very little children. Are we following the example? Because we don't farm. It is like somebody saying, somebody has done all the investment of his life. And Allah has assisted him, he has made it. Now he wants to leave the investment for his little children. That is the meaning. فَأَصَوْبَهَا إِعِصَارٌ فِيهِ نَارٌ فَاحْتَرَقَتْ. After he had gotten that to that level, a wild wind containing fire now strikes that garden, فَاحْتَرَقَتْ, and the whole thing burnt down to ashes. Don't forget the beginning of the verse. Who amongst you would love to be like that? أَيَوَدُّ أَحَدُكُمْ أَن تَكُونَ لَهُ. Would any one of you love to be in this situation? that after you have used your life to invest, when you want to relax, to start enjoying, to reap the fruits of your labor, everything goes, yadamillah. There is nobody that owns that. And he knows that he has little children that he wants to sponsor for education and other things. Allah says, كَذَلِكَ يَدْرِبُ اللَّهُ الْأَمْثَالِ كَذَلِكَ يَدْرِبُ اللَّهُ لِلنَّاسِ How is it? كَذَلِكَ يَدْرِبُ اللَّهُ كَذَلِكَ نُبَيِّنُ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَفَكَّرُونَ That is how Allah says, Allah gives similitudes and examples so that you think. He now said, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا If you don't want such, that you will have children and you will not be afraid of their future. You will be among those that the angels will be telling you, calm down. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَا اللَّهُ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا تَتَنَزَّلُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ أَلَّا تَخَافُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا وَأَبْشِرُوا بِالْجَنَّةِ الَّتِي كُنْتُمْ تُوعَدُونَ There are people that when it is time for them to die, usually one will be afraid. Ah, what I am leaving behind. Ah, what I'm going to face. These are the two tragedies that await one. One of them is what he is leaving behind. His children, his sons, his daughters, his wife, what will be of them? But when you have iman and istiqamah, if you don't want to be afraid then just have iman and istiqamah. Be doing good deeds. Allah said, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَا اللَّهُ Those who say Allah is our Lord. ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا Then they were upright. Following Allah's rules to the best of their ability. When it is time for them to die, تَتَنَزَّلُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ The angels of Allah will descend on them. Allah تَخَافُ They will tell them, don't be afraid. Those things you are afraid of that will happen in the grave, لا تَخَافُ Don't be afraid. The tribulations of the day of judgment, لا تَخَافُ Don't be afraid. وَلَا تَحْزَنُ And don't be sad because you are leaving your children behind. Don't be sad because they have not graduated. Don't be sad because they are just starting their life and you fear for their future. That's a half. Don't be afraid. The angels will give them that confidence that you don't have to be afraid. There is someone that will take charge of their affairs. That is Allah Mawlana. Allah SWT will take charge of their affairs. الذي نزل الكتاب. What is the beginning of the verse? إن ولي الله الذي. No. In Surah Al-A'raf. قل إن ولي الله الذي نزل الكتاب. I don't know. وهو يتولى الصالحين. Is it إن ولي الله. إن ولي الله الذي نزل الكتاب. وهو يتولى الصالحين. Allah is my patron. Inna waliyyi Allah. The one who guides me. The one who protects me. The one who will serve as my guardian when I'm no more alive. It's Allah. Alladhi nazzala al-kitab. That revealed the Quran. Wa huwa yatawalla as-salihin. He takes charge of the affairs of the righteous ones. They don't fear. They leave and Allah takes charge. Those things they do for their family, in fact, the ones they cannot do for their family, Allah will do it for them. Things they couldn't do when they were alive, Allah will do it for them. Because it is not you that will guide your children. It is not you that will put them on the path. It is Allah. So Allah says, Allah will make them to be righteous, even when you are not alive. But your relationship with Allah will assist that. Your relationship with Allah. That I worship Allah, I have tried my best. I will now leave every other thing for Allah to take charge of. Allah takes charge. إِنَّ وَلِيِّيَ اللَّهُ الَّذِي نَزَّلَ الْكِتَابِ وَهُوَ يَتَوَلَّ الصَّالِحِينَ So what I am required, what you are required, what we are all expected, is to work towards being amongst as-salihun. I should try to become one of as-salihun. You also try to become one of them. And then we allow Allah to take charge of our affairs. It is a promise of Allah. So we don't harm people, and we want Allah to preserve our offspring. We don't cheat people, and we expect Allah will preserve our offspring. No, as-salah, be nice to people, be kind to them, and Allah Ta'ala will protect your offspring. It is said that there is nobody that benefits from anybody. Like the Quran said, وَلَا تَزِرُ وَازِرَةٌ وِزْرَ أُخْرَى وَأَنْ لَيْسَ لِلْإِنسَانِ إِلَّا مَا سَعَى وَأَنَّ سَعَيَهُ سَخَيْرًا. But Allah has specially made a window, exemption, with respect to parents and their children. Yes, nobody benefits from anybody's work. You have to work for yourself. But صَلَاهُ الْآبَى, Allah made it out of His fadl, out of His favor, that you can work for your children and they will get the reward of your work. They will get it. And that's why he said, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَاتَّبَعَتْكُمْ ذُرِّيَّتُهُمْ بِإِيمَانٍ أَلْحَقْنَا بِهِمْ ذُرِّيَّتَهُمْ وَمَا أَلَتْنَاهُمْ مِنْ عَمَلِهِمْ مِنْ شَيْءٍ. Children benefit from the works of their fathers. This is in paradise. This is in paradise. On the day of Qiyamah, it is nafsi nafsi. Nobody asks of anybody. On the day of Qiyamah, when people are raised from their graves and they gather on Abdul Mahshar, يَوْمَ يَفِرُّ الْمَرْءُ مِنْ أَخِيهِ وَأُمِّهِ وَأَبِيهِ وَصَاحِبَتِهِ وَبَنِيهِ لِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ مِّنْهُمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ شَأْنٌ يُغْنِيهِ. People run. Children will run away from their parents. Parents will run away from their children. Husbands will run away from their wives. Nobody wants to stand for another. Everyone is engaged with his own personal affairs. I like what a scholar said. He said, Ayyuhal Aba, O you parents, Mahama anfaqtum ala awladikum, no matter how much you spend on your children, yafirruna minkum yawm al-qiyamah, they will run away from you on the day of judgment. Allahumma illa an tu'allimuhum kitab Allah, except that you teach them the book of Allah. Let your children know the Quran, and they will not run away from you on the day of judgment. When people are running, they will be looking for you to say, where are my parents? I want to intercede for them. Children who memorize the Quran would look for their parents. They will not allow them to enter hellfire, because it is upon them to intercede for members of their family. So you can sponsor them to become engineers, medical doctors, and the like. When we see them on the day of judgment, they will pick race, like they used to say. They will run away. But when we teach them the religion and they are pious, they look for us. So what we are saying here is, parents will try to work, let's engage in ibadah. Let's engage in ibadah. It is sufficient to guide our children the way the family of Imran got it right. They got it right, the family of Imran. Mother vowing that whatever she gives back to is going to be dedicated to the service of Allah. That is a big one. That is a big one. And it is a lesson for us in this era. How many of us are interested in making our children work for Allah? How many are interested in saying, okay, we have ambition. You, my first son, you'll be a medical doctor. You, the second one, you'll be a nurse. You, You be an engineer. You, I want you to become a cyber security. You, we distribute all of these professions to our children and want them to work towards, and we try to assist them. How many people say, I want you to become a scholar so that you can be calling people to Allah? إِنِّي نَذَرْتُ لَكَ مَا فِي بَطْنِي مُحَرَّرًا. You, that is the best of them. You are very intelligent. You should become a scholar, so that you take the profession of the Anbiya, the profession of the Prophets of Allah. There is no profession that is better than this. And it does not matter that it is not valued by people. Even the Prophets were not valued. It does not matter that they don't have money. The Prophets of Allah don't have money in Muslim. Only a few of them, that's Amulukun Anbiya, like Dawood and Sulaiman. But if you want to follow the path of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allahumma ja'al quta ali uridku ali Muhammadin quta. So we should be able to emulate this also. But unfortunately, even in the houses of the scholars, Allahu Akbar, even in the houses of the scholars today, we don't have inni nazartu laka ma fi batni muharrara. I know of a scholar, a teacher of mine. One of my teachers, when we are learning with him, he said, You are lucky. He was talking to some of us that we are in secondary school then. Because we finished our secondary school and then before furthering, we went to Islamia. So he said, you are lucky. If you finish all these things we are teaching you now, you go to university, you go to polytechnic, you go to colleges of education. He said, I wish this Arabia that I know, I can transfer it and forget it. Let me give you. You give me the English. He said, I want to be wearing suit and putting necktie too. Say, let's say me number GDF. That was how he said it that day. Said he wants to be wearing coat, put necktie, so that you'll be like a corporate person. He said, you are lucky. He was telling us because we went to speak English. So if a person thinks like that, tell me when he would want his own son to become like him, who is a teacher. And that's why I said, even in these homes of the scholars today, we don't have إِنِّي نَذَرْتُ لَكَ مَا فِي بَطْنِي مُحَرَّرًا. Of course, there is no money in it too. إِلَّا أَن يَشَاءَ اللَّهُ. If Allah wants to give a scholar money, you give it. But there is no profession that is better, that is best, like the profession of the Anbiya. And nobody will understand, we will not understand that until we pray Allah will accept it. Until it is accepted and we meet in the day of Qiyamah. And some people are seen behind the Prophets of Allah. How come you are there? We need to make sacrifices for our religion. We need to contribute for our religion. We need to make serious sacrifices. When we don't make sacrifices, we don't value what happens to our religion. When we don't make sacrifices, the pain we feel when Islam is bleeding is minimal. But when you make contributions, you know you have made effort, you will feel the pain when the Muslims are going through something. There was a day we were building a mosque. The mosque was built, a very big mosque, mashallah. And usually, the students of the school are the laborers. They only get some skilled workers that are the brain behind the work, while the lifting and carrying is done by the students. And so work started, and everybody was lifting cement, sand, block, and when it was a decking, a concrete setting. When it was around noon, when the work was almost finishing, the carpentry work just gave way, and the work almost collapsed. The work almost collapsed. Those that were doing the work, I can still remember that that feeling. Those that were doing the work with tears, they were crying. Because this is their effort. This is their work. This is the day, the whole, that, I don't know how to put it now. It was so heavy. While others that we are passing by will just, subhanAllah, sorry. It's a must that you operate. But those that we are actively involved felt the pain more than those that we are just onlookers. We need to make sacrifice for our religion. We need to send the best of brains to learn this religion. Education is not valued in Nigeria. Education is not valued. And that is why in most cases you see our things going upside down. Look at, I don't know the wisdom behind it. That when you are talking about jam, for instance, there is a sort of map that you get and you go to the university. Then a lower cut of math, you go to the polytechnic. Then if you have the least cut of math, you go to the college of education. Those are the people that will teach. If you find somebody in the teaching line, then maybe he is not good enough. Very bad. Those who are not very intelligent are the ones that are sent to education. Go and teach. While those who are very good will be sent to medicine. And these are things that even in advanced countries, average students can do well in them because they are more of skilled. Where you need the best of brains are those who are teaching. Those who will be directing people that this is what you should do, this is what you shouldn't do. And we are expecting that our society will be good when those who will be giving directions are the ones that have been sieved out. The ones that have been sieved out. Three places. If we fail in those places, then there is no way a society can be good. One is the home. Two, the mosque, the places of worship. Three, the schools. These are the places that will correct any society. It begins from the home, the mosque, and the schools. The triangle must be complete. Now you can analyze. I think you can analyze better than I will do. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all. Inni nazartu laka ma fi batni muharrara. Fataqabbal minni. I will dedicate whatever I give back to your service. Ya Allah, taqabbal minni. Accept it from me. There is a lesson here. That we are doing what Allah wants us to do does not mean we should not beg Him to accept. Ya Allah, accept it. Ya Allah, accept it. I want to do this. I want to dedicate this for your service. فَتَقَبَّلْ مِنِّي. Ya Allah, please accept it. إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ. You are the all-hearing, the all-knowing. Allah said, فَلَمَّا وَضَعَتْهَا قَالَتْ رَبِّ إِنِّي وَضَعْتُهَا أُنْثَى وَاللَّهُ أَعْلَمُ بِمَا وَضَعَتْ. We have explained that. وَلَيْسَ ذَكَرُكَ الْأُنْثَى وَإِنِّي سَمَّيْتُهَا مَرْيَمَ وَإِنِّي أُعِيدُهَا بِكَ وَذُرِّيَّتَهَا مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ. Allah said, فَتَقَبَّلَهَا رَبُّهَا بِقَبُولٍ حَسَنٍ وَأَنْبَتَهَا نَبَاتًا حَسَنًا وَكَفَّلَهَا زَكَرِيَّا. كلما دخل عليها زكريا المحراب وجد عندها رزقا قال يا مريم أنى لك هذا قالت هو من عند الله إن الله يرزق من يشاء بغير حساب. كتب فتقبل مني ألا كتب تقبلها ربها بقبول حسنا. Allah accepted her with a very good acceptance. She prayed that Allah accept my vow. Allah said, we have accepted it. وَأَنْبَتَهَا نَبَاتًا حَسَنًا. Allah made her to grow a very good growth. She grew nicely. The scholar said, in terms of her look, she was beautiful, Maryam. In terms of her character, she was wonderful, Maryam. The product of إني نذرت لك ما في بطني محرارة. Allah أنبتها نباتا حسنا. This is from the balagha of the Quran. So again, أنبتها إنباتا حسنا. Allah said أنبتها نباتا حسنا. Allah made her to grow a very nice growth, nabat. So it was not about the inbat, now it is about the nabat also. She grew well. Now, beauty, elegance combined with piety. وَكَفَّلَهَا زَكَرِيَّا. Allah made her to be under the custody. He gave Zakariya the custody of Maryam. They had to balance to know who would take the custody of Maryam. So the balance fell in the hands of Zakariya. Zakariya was said to be the husband to the sister of the wife of Imran. Is the relationship too long? The husband to the sister of the wife of Imran. That is the mother of Maryam. Is a sister to the wife of Zakariya. Is a sister to the wife of Zakariya. Maryam's mother is a sister to Zakariya's wife. So she was like her auntie from the maternal side. So Zakariya was the one who was taking care of Maryam. كلما دخل عليها زكريا المهرابة. While Zakariya was taking custody of Maryam, Allah said, كلما دخل عليها زكريا المهرابة. Whenever Zakariya went into, Zakariya is a prophet of Allah, a messenger of Allah. So he was the one in charge of the well-being of Maryam. Whenever he goes into her mihrab, here she was praying, here she was dedicated to serve. وَجَدَ عِنْدَهَا رِزْقًا. Zakariya will find with her provision. فَاكِحَةُ الصَّيِّدِ فِي الشِّتَاءِ وَفَاكِحَةُ الشِّتَاءِ فِي الصَّيِّدِ. Fruits that are not gotten during winter, Maryam will have them with her. The ones that are not gotten during summer, it will be with Maryam during summer. وَجَدَ عِنْدَهَا رِزْقًا. He finds different provisions and he knows he didn't give it to her. So whenever he comes to Maryam, he says, أَنَّ لَكِ قَالَ يَا مَرْيَمُ. He says, oh Maryam, أَنَّ لَكِ هَذَا. Where did you get this? قَالَ هُوَ مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ. Say this from Allah. هُوَ مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ. What do we call this? Scholars will say, تَوَادُعُ الْمُنْتَسِرِ. تَوَادُعُ الْمُنْتَسِرِ. هُوَ مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ. It is from Allah. Now God. That when Allah says, Allah elevates you and gives you victory, learn to be humble and give the glory to Allah. هُوَ مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ. It is from Allah. This verse is establishing Karamatul Awliya. Karamatul Awliya. The part of the creed of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. وَنُؤْمِنُ بِمَا جَاءَ مِنْ كَرَامَاتِهِمْ وَصَحَّ عَنِ اتِّقَاطِ مِنْ رِوَايَاتِهِمْ. So Al-Imam Tahawi said in his Tariq. We believe in the Karamatul Awliya so long as it comes through authentic chain. Al-Imam Al-Lalika'i in his book. شرح أصول اعتقاد أهل السنة والجماعة. He has a باب that talks about كتاب كرامات الأولياء. So we believe that the awliya of Allah have miracles that are related to them. This is one of them. From الأمم المادية and this ummah, there are كرامات. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives some miracles to some slaves of his that are awliya. So she says, هو من عند الله. It is from Allah. And we said this, our takeaway on this is that we should be humble when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us victory. We refer the glory back to Allah. It is one of the reasons why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promotes a slave and elevates him. مَنْ تَوَاضَعَ لِلَّهِ رَفَعَهُ اللَّهُ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever is humble for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you humble yourself for Allah, Allah will elevate you. Allah will give you more glory. But the moment a person claims the glory, Allah brings him down. There are different episodes we can learn that. There is nothing that made Nabiullah Musa alayhi salatu wasalam to go seeking for knowledge from somebody that is not up to him, other than the fact that he did not return the knowledge back to Allah. Even when what he said was true. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam said Nabiullah Musa was amongst Banu Israel and was preaching to them, and somebody asked him, Ya Musa, do you know anybody that is more knowledgeable than you are? And he said, no. فَعَاتَبَهُ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rebuked him, إِذْ لَمْ يَرُدَّ الْعِلْمَ إِلَيْهِ, for not returning knowledge back to Allah. That Allah A'lam. He said, no, I'm the most knowledgeable. Allah now told him that, no, we have somebody who has what you don't have. Go to Majma'ul Bahraini. You will see a slave of ours there. Go and learn from him. When Musa was there, he saw Khadir, he said, هَلْ أَتْفَبِئُكَ عَلَىٰ أَنْ تُعَلِّمَنِ مِمَّا عُلِّمْتَ رُجْدًا. He became a student, a messenger of Allah. وَاحِدٌ مِّنْ أُولِي الْعَزْمِ مِنَ الرُّسُلِ. The high-ranking messengers of Allah. He went back. It is said that when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam conquered Makkah, this was the time he was supposed to show his strength, to move with his shoulders high and his face up. But la, tawadu al-muntasir. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam entered Makkah bending his head in humility to Allah. That, Ya Allah, I'm not the one, it is you. This victory is from you. I can't claim it, it is you. Don't claim victory. In fact, when people praise you, tell them it is not you, it is Allah. So we say, ah, you are so nice, you are so good. We say, ah, don't be it, my parents brought you up. Ah, you can't. Tell them it is Allah. When people say you are intelligent, ah, you, don't say, if you know the way I used to read, I don't used to sleep at night now, I study hard. No, return the glory back to Allah. Let Allah claim the glory. Don't feel you are the one that got it. Huwa min indillah. Maryam did not say, ah, me that have been dedicated to serve Allah, you think Allah will not be providing for me? No. The awliya of Allah do not boast. They return glory back to Allah in humility. In humility. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us this practically. Except that many people don't really reflect on it. That when we eat, the food does not come like Banu Israel, and it comes from heaven, and it drops on our table and we begin to eat. No. We work for it, right? We get money, we buy the food, we cook the food, place it on the table, and we eat. But when we eat, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us what to say. Alhamdulillahi alladhi at'amani hadha wa razaqanihi min ghayri hawlin minni wala quwwa. You get the message? When you eat, you say, Alhamdulillahi alladhi at'amani. I thank Allah, praise be to Allah. Alladhi at'amani, that fed me. He fed me this food. وَرَزَقَنِيهِ, he provided it for me. مِنْ غَيْرِ حَوْلٍ مِنِّي وَلَا قُوَى. No effort, no strength from me. It is only Allah that gave me. Even the food you got, the food you bought, and you ate, this is what the Prophet taught you. تَوَادُوا الْمُنْتَسِرِ أَنْ تَتَوَادَعَ لِلَّهِ. So Maryam said, she will say, huwa min indillah. It is from Allah. It is from Allah. Inna Allah yarzuqu man yasha'u bighayri hisab. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provide for whoever he wishes, without account, without measuring. Because the provisions are with Allah. The store of the provisions are with Allah. He said, وَإِن مِّن شَيْءٍ إِلَّا عِنْدَنَا قَزَائِنُهُ وَمَا نُنَزِّلُهُ إِلَّا بِقَدَرٍ مَعْلُومٍ. Anything, anything of wealth, anything of provision, the storage and the treasure is with Allah. The treasury is with Allah. And He brings it down in known measure. So when He wants to give you more, He gives you. When He wants to give you little, He gives it. He also says, قَالِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ وَيَقَدِرُ. He gives some people so much, and He gives some people minimally, because He knows that is the best for them. When Zakariya saw this, Allah said, هُنَالِكَ دَعَى زَكَرِيَّا رَبَّهُ قَالَ رَبِّ هَبْ لِي مِنْ لَدُنْكَ ذُرِّيَّةً طَيِّبَةً إِنَّكَ سَمِيعُ الدُّعَاءِ. When Zakariya saw the miracle that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave to Maryam, that see the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is providing for her, Maryam, he also now says, how I wish I have a son. Allah said, هُنَالِكَ. It is at that point, دَعَى زَكَرِيَّا رَبَّهُ, that Zakariya now called upon his Lord. Which means, Ya Ikhwanana, we will see people with favor. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give people favor. Allah will favor others above us. When you see a person that Allah has done favor to, emulate Zakariya. Don't envy the person. Rather pray for Allah to give you your own. Because He can. If He were to give everybody what they ask for, it does not reduce what He has. So we pray, هُنَالِكَ دَعَى زَكَرِيَّا رَبَّهُ. When Zakariya was praying, it was almost too late. It was almost too late. Because when he was praying, يَا رَبَّ وَهَنَ الْعَزْمُ مِنِّي وَاشْتَعَلَ الرَّأْسُ شَيْبًا وَلَمْ أَقُمْ بِدُعَائِكَ رَبِّ شَقِيًّا. No, it was when he saw Maryam, he felt that, which I want to have a son that will be like this. He was already old. His wife was barren. But he prayed to Allah. هُنَالِكَ دَعَى زَكَرِيَّا رَبَّهُ. Zakariya prayed to his Lord. He said, رَبِّ هَبْ لِي مِنْ لَدُنْكَ ذُرِّيَّةً طَيِّبًا. Say, oh Allah, هَبْ لِي. Because he is Al-Wahhab. Allah is the one that gives gifts. هَبْ لِي مِنْ لَدُنْكَ. I'm not asking for it from anyone. مِنْ لَدُنْكَ. From you. عَجَبًا. Surprising that some will go to people who will take them to the river to get what they want from the river. Some will be taken to some mountain to get what they want from the mountain. يَا بَنْ بِاللَّهِ. مِنْ لَدُنْكَ. Should be from Allah. حَبْلِي مِنْ لَدُنْكَ ذُرِّيَّةً طَيِّبًا. Let me have, give me from you, dhurriya, of things that are tayyiba, that are good, righteous, Allah fearing. إِنَّكَ سَمِيعُ الدُّعَى. Because you listen and you hear our supplication. فَنَادَتْهُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ وَهُوَ قَائِمٌ يُصَلِّي فِي الْمِحْرَابِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now sent the angels. نَادَتْهُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ. The angels called Zakariya. وَهُوَ قَائِمٌ يُصَلِّي فِي الْمِهْرَابِ. Zakariya was standing in salah, praying in his prayer position. The angels called him and said, أَنَّ اللَّهَ يُبَشِّرُكَ بِيَحْيَى. Allah is giving you the glad tidings that you have Yahya. مُصَدِّقًا بِكَلِمَةٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ. Yahya will be acknowledging and affirming كَلِمَةٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ. A statement from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A word from Allah. وَسَيِّدًا. He's going to be a leader. وَحَسُورًا. He will abstain from sins. وَنَبِيًّا مِّنَ الصَّالِحِينَ. And he's going to be from the righteous prophet. He's going to be a prophet from the righteous one. Nabiyan min as-salihin. The word as-salihun sometimes in the Quran comes as a general way of describing those who are righteous. And sometimes it comes as the prophets of Allah. Just like Nabiullah Yusuf alayhi salatu wa salam prayed, Rabbi qad ataytani min al-mulki wa 'allamtani min ta'wil al-ahadith fa'atira as-samawati wal-ard anta waliyyi fi ad-dunya wal-akhirah tawaffani musliman wal-hikmi bis-salihin. يعني الانبياء. Because he's a prophet, he's a messenger of Allah. So he will not go down, he wants to go up. So salihun sometimes it will come to mean the prophet of Allah, and it will come sometimes to mean general public that are pious. So Allah gave the glad tidings of having Yahya to Zakaria because of that prayer. Zakaria said, "Qala Rabbi anna yakunu li ghulam," because he was given the glad tidings of Yahya. He said, "Oh my Lord, anna yakunu li ghulam, how can I have a son? وَقَدْ بَلَغَنِيَ الْكِبَرُ, I'm already old. وَمْرَأَتِي عَاقِرُ, and my wife is a barren. How is it possible?" It's like you want to ask me that, is he not the one that asked? Abi, he's the one that prayed now. So why is he asking that, أَنَّ يَكُونُ لِي أَنَّ, how come, how is it possible, يَكُونُ لِي غُلَامٌ, that I will have a son? وَقَدْ بَلَغَنِيَ الْكِبَرُ, when I have already, when old age has, بَلَغَنِيَ الْكِبَرُ, old age has caught up with me. وَمْرَأَتِي عَاقِرٌ. You know, sometimes you ask something. When it is given to you, you ask again that, you mean you gave me? It is like me coming to Imam now, I say, Imam, that's your mansion that is in VGC. Is it VGC? That's your mansion that is in VGC. Imam, that's me now. Imam, I give you. Yes? You give me? You give me that mansion part that is in. You begin to ask that. Even when you know that you ask, when it comes, you begin to wonder that, am I going to be a father? Then, أَنَّا يَكُونُ لِي غُلَامٌ, how would I have a son? وَقَدْ بَلَغَنِيَ الْكِبَرُ وَمْرَأَتِي عَاقِرٌ. Problems from two sides. Sometimes, when people don't have children, Ya Allah, we ask you, we beg you, Ya Allah, all Muslims that long to have children, Ya Allah, answer their prayer, give them children. Let them have children that will righteous things of yours. Those that have the children, Ya Allah, bless them, make them righteous, make them pious things of yours. Sometimes when they go to the hospital, they might say it is the husband that has a problem. Sometimes they will say it is the wife that has a problem. Here, it is both the husband and wife that have problems. So Zakaria is asking, أَنَّ يَكُونُ لِي غُلَامٌ وَقَدْ بَلَقَنِيَ الْكِبَرُ وَمْرَأَتِي عَاقِرٌ قَالَ كَذَلِكَ اللَّهُ يَفْعَلُ مَا يَشَاءُ. كَذَلِكَ اللَّهُ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him that, that is how Allah يَفْعَلُ مَا يَشَاءُ, he does what he wishes. إِنَّمَا أَمْرُهُ إِذَا أَرَادَ شَيْئًا أَنْ يَقُولَ لَهُ كُنْ فَيَكُونُ. So don't feel something is too big for you to ask Allah. And don't get tired. وَلِعَزِّمِ الْمَسْأَلَةِ, when you want to ask Allah big. Nothing is too big before Allah. Nothing is impossible before Allah. People have had situations where medically they will be told it is a hopeless situation. But with Allah, with faith in Allah, Allah will do it. Don't leave the line, don't leave the path of Allah because you want to achieve something. Whatever Allah doesn't give you, nobody will give you. But if you ask Allah and He wants to give you, He will give you even when nobody wants to give you. مَا يَخْتَهِ اللَّهُ لِلنَّاسِ مِنْ رَحْمَةٍ فَلَا مُمْسِكَ لَهَا وَمَا يُمْسِكْ فلا مرسل له من بعده. I had one of the mashayikh, maybe we give this an end, mentioning an ujuba, something strange, most possibly that happened to someone in Misra, one of the scholars of Misra, I've forgotten his name. He said this man was a well-to-do man, but he was paralyzed. He had paralysis and was sitting on his wheelchair. That was how he was living. Until one day he was before the screen and he was watching people doing tawaf in Haram al-Masjid. And he said to his student, "Uriid an azur al-Malik fi qasrihi." He said, "I want to visit the king in his palace." And the student said, "We don't understand, daddy." He said, "Uriid an azur al-Malik fi qasri." I want to visit the king in his palace. He said, "In this state of yours?" He said, "Yes." "But which king are you referring to?" He said, "The king of kings, Malikul Muluk, the one who owns everywhere. I want to visit him. And I want to visit him in his palace, in his house." He didn't say beyond that. The children understood. Because they saw that he was watching Kaaba when people were doing tawaf. So they took him and he went for Umrah. He did his Umrah, did tawaf after tawaf, he did his sa'i after sa'i, he finished his Umrah. He said they should return him back to the Mataf. Yeah, they do tawaf. When they dropped him, he was on his wheelchair. He said, "Everybody go. Everybody should leave me. I want to talk to the king." And they said, "We should leave you here." He said, "Yes, leave me here. I want to speak to the king." And they did as he said. They left him. And they went. And this man started calling on Allah. "Ya Allah, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim, Ya Latif. This is what I want from you. This is what I want. I want you to give me help. I want you to give me help." Human beings cannot. They have tried and they have failed. Nobody can do it except you, Ya Allah. And I have come to ask from you, give me help, restore my health. He continued to plead with Allah. "Yulihu fi du'a'ihi." And that is one of the adab of prayer. Don't ask once and keep quiet. It is not from the manners of prayer. You ask and ask and ask. You become persistent and consistent in your prayer until he gives you. Don't leave him until he gives you. Scholars will say you stand like a child that is crying before his father that you must give me. And the father will say, "Take, stop disturbing me." Al-ilha'u is part of the adab of dua. This man called and called and invoked Allah. Then he became tired. He was exhausted. And he slept off. The next thing he was hearing was "Qum wamshi." "Qum wamshi." "Qum wamshi." "Qum wamshi" means stand up and walk away. Stand up and walk away. The man woke up. He stood up and started walking. When his children saw him, they could not believe it. Because they brought him paralyzed. But because of the faith he had, that "Inna Allah yaf'alu ma yasha." If he wants to give you help, he will give you. He went there, he begged him, and Allah decided to give him. So that he will be a testimony for others. That "Inna Allah azza wa jalla ala kulli shay'in qadir." There is no problem that is unsurmountable to Allah. No problem is too big. It is just our relationship with Allah that serves as a barrier. Let us break those barriers. Call on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I will know that كَذَلِكَ اللَّهُ يَفْعَلُ مَا يَشَىٰ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does whatever he wants. Read the tarjama of Imam al-Bukhari alayhi rahmatullah. He has a similar experience. Imam al-Bukhari was born blind. Imam al-Bukhari was born blind. But he had a mother that was persistent in prayer. The mother prayed and prayed and prayed. One day she saw in her dream I don't know if it's Nabiullah Ibrahim or she's someone telling her that إِنَّ اللَّهَ قَدْ رَدَّ بَصَرَ بِنِكِ. Allah has recorded the sight of your son. Go. And she woke up and saw her son fighting. See, the sight was restored. Allahu ala kulli shayin qadir ya ikhwanana. We should repair and make that connection smooth between we and Allah. Allah will make it easy for us. We pray the little I have said will be of benefit to us. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa barik ala Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in wa salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi
wa barakatuh. We thank our Shaykh for the inspiring tafsir of this section of the Quran. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it beneficial for us. Well, Maghrib, and we will not give people any questions. But all I just want to mention is that this tafsir that the Shaykh is giving us is just Adam. The real reason why he has come all the way from Medina is to give the public lecture tomorrow, which is starting at 5. So, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to preserve and preserve the lecture of the world. Upon faith, so that we will witness the lecture tomorrow. So we want everyone of us to be here as well, so that we can. And the topic that